jealousy and drama. As I said during the children's sermon, jealousy is an ugly, ugly thing. But drama, maybe it isn't such an ugly, ugly thing. Jealousy can destroy relationships, right? Jealousy can destroy church communities, church committees. Jealousy can destroy towns, states, maybe even nations. And yes, I'm getting overly dramatic about jealousy and destroying a nation. But I'm using that drama to get to help us get to a couple things. One, we're preparing for next week's youth service. And because it's going to be youth, we should have the drama content much higher, right? Look at you smiling. I have a youth for the But also, we're going to complete the story. We're going to finish the story of Joseph next week in a wonderful melodramatic fashion. So there will be more drama just in terms of just the overall putting together of the worship service in a good way, like melodrama. But second, we're going to have lots of fun this week with a melodramatic beginning to the story. It's not a real happy part of the story, but some of you have seen Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, or you've heard about it, read the script, read a little screenplay for it, and it is a very melodramatic play, even though that there's sadness, but it's kind of fun. And when you take the story of Joseph as a whole, it's fun to act out the drama, so we get to do part of it today. So for this, I need some people to play roles today. You get to participate in worship, and you get to come up front here, and you're like, no, no, Dave, gotta do this today. Big smile on your face. So we need someone to play Joseph. We need someone to play Jacob, who's also known as Israel. Jacob is the one who struggled with God, and Jacob and Esau, and his name became Israel, which means struggles with God. Do you want to be in the play?
Yeah.
You've already decided. Okay, so Jacob, we need some brothers, and we need some Midianites or Ishmaelites, same kind of. So if you want to be in the play, you can raise your hand. Otherwise, I'll just have to pick you. Dave, come on up. Okay, come on up, Dalton. Well, come on up. Come on up. If you want to be in the play, just walk up here. We've got parts for everybody. More adults. Come on. Need some more adults. There we go. Thank you, Ruth. Am I going to be in trouble later? No, because you like to do drama stuff, right? Anyone else? Okay, Dad, coming up here.
I want to.
All right. Now, there's some part. Deb's going to come up here, too. Oh, and Pam. What? Who am I calling? Oh, Carly. Yeah, you have to come up. Carly, Pam said. Were you waiting for an invitation? I just wanted you to say my name, you know. So, there.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Carly.
Okay, this is our group. Now we've got a Joseph. And Dalton, you're going to be Joseph today. Okay? Because Joseph was really arrogant and full of himself. He was, but he needs to need some drama there. So, and then we need a Jacob. Jacob is not that smart. But I think that Corey wanted to be Jacob, didn't you? You wanted to be it. No, he's very smart, but he's just older. And who's older, you or Dalton? I think you're older today. So give me your best old man look. No? Yeah, well, that was good. That looked right there. Okay, we need some brothers. So let's have brothers. You can be along the back, your brother. So you don't like Joseph. What's his name? You don't like Joseph so much. And some more brothers, too. And we need some Ishmaelites. So some of you that are brothers can also pretend to be Ishmaelites, too. Let's see now. Joseph is, you know, a little stuck up and a little nice. Okay, really likes himself. So remember that. A little stuck up, a little nice. Really like yourself. Jacob, everything that you do, Jacob, has to be really dramatic. So if you're really happy, you need to be overly happy. Like, oh, show me that. There we go. And if you're really sad, it's got to be really. I mean, because it's a melodrama, you got to overplay it there. And then the brothers, you are very, very jealous, but you're not without a conscience. You're jealous and you're angry, but you're not, you know, there are some redeeming qualities to you. Can you play not so good, but some redeeming qualities? Think so? Yeah. And then the Midianites, you don't have to do much. You just have to pass by and sort of like take Joseph away. Good with that? Karen, can you do that?
Yeah.
Can you take Joseph away? Okay, so I'm going to read the scripture again. So everyone just sort of move over to the side a little bit there. I'm going to read it slowly, and this time I'm going to read it from Eugene Peterson's translation or paraphrase of the Bible called The Message. And as I call you out, you'll kind of do the things, and if you're having trouble, I'll help you along with the action. So you do it that. So, meanwhile, Jacob had settled down where his father had lived. Jacob, come and settle down. Just settle down. You want a stool to settle down on? In the land of Canaan. Not the land of Canaan, but the land of Canaan. So be settled, but dramatically. Say, I'm settled.
I'm settled.
But say it like an old man.
I'm settled.
There you go. Okay. This is the story of Jacob. The story continues with Joseph. Just be there and go like, you'll do that with your arms. There, there's Joseph. Okay. 17 years old at the time. Say, I'm 17. See, you have to do stuff like that.
I'm 17.
Yeah, but really loud.
I'm 17.
Okay. Helping out his brothers, herding the flocks. Everyone here, you can be the flocks right now. Just say, bah. And again. So if I say that, he was helping his brother herding the flocks. There we go. These were his half-brothers, actually, the sons of his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. And Joseph brought his father bad reports of them.
Yeah.
Bad. Say, my brothers are not doing a good job. Try that.
My brothers
say
are
say it
not
to your father.
My brothers are not doing a good job. Oh!
There, very good, very good. And you can say, oh, that's horrible. Try it.
Oh, that's horrible.
And then, so it's, that was a good practice. So, my brothers are doing a bad job.
My brothers are doing a bad job.
That's horrible. One more time, we'll try it, but do it really dramatically. Here we go. Oh, that's horrible! Okay. My brother's doing a bad job. Okay, here we go. Ready? Go.
My brother's doing a bad job. That's horrible.
Okay. Oh my goodness. Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other sons. I love you better than any of my other sons. Because he was a child of his old age, and he made him, next page, an elaborately embroidered coat. Say, here's an elaborately embroidered coat.
Here's an elaborately embroidered
coat. And pretend to put it on him. And what do you say, Joseph?
Thank you.
And do you like your elaborately embroidered coat?
Oh, I love it.
Say, I love my elaborately embroidered coat.
I love my elaborately embroidered coat.
But you have to say that really slow and really loud.
I love my
elaborately
embroidered coat.
It's hard to say. Say it 10 times fast. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Okay. When his brothers realized their father loved him more than they, brothers, come on over here. They grew to hate him. The rest of you can come and be brothers too. Just talk to each other and be angry at Joseph. There we go. They wouldn't even speak to him.
No.
Joseph, try to speak to him. Say, hey, brothers.
Hey, brothers.
Don't speak. There we go. Okay. Fancy embroidered. So, yeah. So his brothers had gone off to Shechem. Shechem's over there. Go off to Shechem. Where they were pasturing their father's flocks. Israel said to Joseph, so you're Israel and Jacob, same guy. Jacob said to Joseph, why don't you go to Shechem? Say it.
Why don't you go to Shechem?
And Joseph said, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
With my elaborately embroidered coat.
With my elaborately embroidered coat. Oh.
All right, so Jacob said, go and see how your brothers are doing and send me back a report.
Go and see how your brothers are doing and send me back a report.
A man, one of you has to be the man. Quick, come out. Okay, a man. A man met him as he was wandering through the fields. Wander through the fields. So you have to... And Jacob, you have to go over there now. You're gone now. But take your stool with you. You're wandering through the fields, just looking, and a man meets him. Meet each other.
Hi, how you doing?
And he says, what are you looking for?
What are you looking for?
I have no idea.
No, you're looking for your brother. I'm looking for my brother.
I'm looking for my brother.
Okay. Do you have any idea where they are?
Do you have any idea where they are?
The man said, they left.
They left.
But I did hear them say they were going to Dothan.
But I did hear them say that they were going to Dothan.
So Joseph took off, ran straight down the aisle, and the man was gone. He was over there again. He was a brother again. And then he came to a new place in Dothan, and here he was. But while he was far distance away, oh, go back. Go back. Yeah. While he was a far distance away, the brothers... The brothers didn't see him yet. No, they didn't see him yet. They were having a good old time. But then they saw Joseph in the distance, and they began to plot.
Joseph!
To conspire. Karen, conspire. And they said, we're going to get him.
We're going to get him.
You know, they said they were going to do something else, but it's a melodrama. So let's not make it too. And then Joseph came up, and he was all happy, saying, hey, brothers, what you doing?
Hey, brothers, what you doing?
Then he stopped, because he wasn't quite there yet. He said that from a distance. They decided just before, instead of just getting him, they were going to take him, get his coat, and throw him into a pit.
No!
And Jacob was not seen here yet. And so then Joseph finally arrived and said, hey, brothers, what you doing?
Hey, brothers, what you doing?
And they took his coat. And they threw him in a pit, which was happened to be behind the altar table. In the pit, it was dark and dreary. And the brothers then had a little change of heart and said, we could make some money at this. And you know, he is our brother, so we probably shouldn't end him. So they said, we shouldn't end him.
We shouldn't end him.
But then in the distance, they saw some Ishmaelites.
You three here can be the Ishmaelites. So go, Karen and Deb and Dave, go to the distance.
There we go. From a distance. The world. No, you're from a distance. They saw some Midianite traders.
There's the Midianite traders.
That sounds like Trader Joe's. There's the Midianite traders. And the Midianite traders came up, and they said, hey, we've got a brother. You want him?
Hey, we got a brother. You want him?
20? Only 20 pieces of silver. No, they didn't. So they paid him, and they went and got Joseph out of the pit. And Joseph and the Midianite traders lived happily ever. No, then they went off to Egypt.
We went off to Egypt.
Cut. That's the end of the story for today. It's not a very happy ending. Thank you very much to our performers. Thank you very much. Excellent job. Excellent job. All of you who are here this week, make sure you're here next week so that you can portray the same characters in the culmination of the story, which is Joseph without the amazing Technicolor dream coats. In review, good-looking and well-dressed Joseph, his father's favorite, was the envy of all the rest of his brothers. He was arrogant, and his attitude really didn't do anything to help his brother's jealousy. He just thought he was really good at things, and he was a little bit naive, too. So Joseph's brothers plotted to kill him. And instead they had a little bit of a change of heart or a little bit of self-preservation and a desire to make some money, and they sold him as a slave. That's the story for today, and that's where the scripture ends. It's good that we have something else because it's tough to find what kind of lessons can you learn from the first part of Joseph's story. You know, we read Bible stories all the time, and there's a moral to the story, or there's something that you can learn and take away and say, this is a good thing, this is a promise from God. So what are the issues? What can you learn from the story of jealous brothers who throw their brother into a pit, they don't kill him, and they sell him as a slave? One part I think that we can learn from the children's sermon is how destructive jealousy is. I'm sure that the story of Joseph and his brothers would be very different if the brothers were not jealous And they just stayed with him, because if you know the rest of the story, and I know I'm giving it away, but you know, he goes to Egypt, and there's famine, and Joseph has averted the famine because of his dreams and everything, and then everyone gets, you know, people get to eat, and then down the line, if Joseph and his brothers hadn't had this falling out, if Joseph wasn't arrogant, if his brothers weren't jealous, the story wouldn't continue the way it does. But I think that the story also does teach us, even though it turned out okay, is that jealousy has no place in relationships. It has no place in communities. Jealousy just has no place, period, in our lives. It's destructive. It destroyed the relationship of Joseph and his brothers. Thankfully, God is kind of working through the whole thing, and it wasn't destroyed forever. But you gotta wait till next week for that. Another issue, though, is one about suffering. When Joseph is in the pit, there's one line of scripture that says it was dark and dreary, or he was alone, and it was dark in the pit. And there's a question, why did Joseph suffer? Really, the Bible does not make him out to be a bad guy, a little bit arrogant maybe, and yes, his father's favorite, but wasn't a bad guy, and his brothers hated him because of his father's favoritism. They were just so consumed with their jealousy. Why did Joseph suffer? Was it when he got the long robe with sleeves and he said stuff like, look at my long robe with sleeves, and he was acting arrogant? Does that mean that God was not blessing him anymore? Or when he got the long robe with sleeves and when Joseph showed him all this favor and Joseph was good looking and all that, does that mean that God was blessing him? If we're full of ourselves, do we deserve to be thrown into a pit? Or if things are going well, does that mean that God loves us more? It tries to answer the question, at least the scripture at least asks the question, why do bad things happen? And the real answer is, don't know, bad things do happen. But you can see in the story of Joseph that God is with Joseph all the time. The third issue is, it's addressing this God's presence, God being with Joseph all the time. Why did Joseph suffer? I don't know. Joseph suffered. We all suffer. There are times in our lives where things are not going well. So, was God blessing him when he was his father's favorite, and then God turned his back when Joseph was in the pits? No. Today's reading ends with Joseph in a bad situation. But there is a next part to the story that we get to hear next week. Knowing that, even if you're not here for church next week and you just want to read the rest of chapter 37 of Genesis or rent Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, because amazingly it does, you know, with Elvis the Pharaoh and all that, it still tells the story and it still has the same kind of message going on there. When we're in bad situations, when we're in awful, horrible times, there is more to the story. The story is not finished when we're in the pit and we feel like we're all alone. I think that this story, even to this point, can teach us that we can have patience along that journey and know that there is a next part to our life's story. And I believe that throughout the journey, throughout the story, that God is present. God is present when things are going well. God is present when things are not going well. God is present as the story continues. So I think a challenge for today, and even moving into next week, let's be ready. Looking forward with patience, looking forward with hope as we continue on our faith journey, no matter where we are on that faith journey. And then let's come back next week to church, but come back into the story looking forward with patience. Looking forward with hope as we hear the second part of the story, as we read the second part of the story, as we know that there is a next part to the story. And know that there is a presence of God with us all the time. Just like there was a presence with Joseph, this dreamer. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for times when, even though we don't feel your presence, that you are with us. Thank you that in the worst times that you are watching over us. Thank you that in the best times, when it's easy to thank you,
us. Help us to realize, understand, feel your presence at all times in our lives, no matter where we are in the story, no matter where we are on our life's journey.